The final one of the pre-recorded shiur in Besiat Dishmaya. This shiur is for Thursday the 20th of August, which is Lamet Elul, the last day of Elul, which is also, Lamet Nachm Av, Rosh Chodesh Elul, and the first of the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. And we're going to be learning in today's shiur, Sim Tov Kuf Zayin, Siv Beis, and Siv Gimel. So the halacha is as follows. Afal pi she'etzim shenoshu min hadekel b'yom tev, although woods which fell from the tree on Yom Tov, oy b'Shabbos, or on Shabbos, shelefonov, on the previous Shabbos, also la'asikon, you're not allowed to use them for firewood, v'yamukta. As we've mentioned previously, woods that fall off the tree on Shabbos are mukta. The reason why they are mukta, Mishnah Berurah Sefkot Dalet explains, Afal pi she'etzim shenoshu mishum mukta, sharem chuborim ben hashmoshes, they were still connected ben hashmoshes, and therefore if they're changing usage and they're not set aside, they are mukta. Additionally, also void mishum Shema ya levitloish, because the branch is mukta anyway, because a person may go up and break it, and therefore branches and woods which were still connected when Yom Tov came in are mukta. Now, im noshu b'Yom Tov b'seichatanu, what if they fell right onto the oven? So the ovens, which had an opening on top, and they fell right into it, can use it or not? Imagine that you've got an open air barbecue style oven, and it's just under a tree, and there is various branches, small or big, that fall into the oven. You want to just know if you can just use that now on Yom Tov, the old oven becomes now, you can't use it because of the oven contains mukt woods. So im noshu b'Yom Tov b'seichatanu, it fell on Yom Tov into the oven, ma b'aleim eitzim uchonim. So what you've got to do is you have to add Eitzim Uchonim, you have to add woods which were prepared, which were set aside, and consequently no mukta. You have to add prepared woods which you're going to throw into the oven, and now the oven is fine to use because you have both mukta woods and non mukta woods, and you can now use the oven. Shaloi yu atzei isu nikorim, as long as the isa, i.e. mukta woods, are not recognizable, You may just add additional woods, and therefore allow the use of the oven on Yom Tov. Umevatloni will become nullified. The Shulchan Aruch continues, Umevatlon, top of page 244, who blavat shaliga bohem, as long as you're not touching the mukta woods, archis batle b'roiv, before they become batle b'roiv. So once they've become nullified and they're unrecognizable, then it's fine. You can use them all, you can touch them all. But as long as they are easily identifiable and they're not nullified, you may not touch them. Avol, but im noflu b'tanu b'Shabbos, but if they fell in the oven on Shabbos, non Yom Tov on Shabbos, also la'asikon b'Yom Tov shelachov, you may not then use them on the subsequent day, which is Yom Tov, hafilu di b'tel b'roiv, even if there's b'tel b'roiv. So let us see what it means exactly. What we are really learning over here is a concept of b'tel b'roiv, and more than that even is the concept of en mevatlin isa lechatchila, which really the root of that sugya is actually the root of that concept is actually that very sugya. We know there's halacha of bitul b'roiv. If you've got a majority of heter, then the issa becomes nullified and the whole thing together becomes muta. What happens if you've got at the moment only minority of heter and the majority is issa? Can I add a bit of heter and therefore I'm going to end up having majority of heter. So say, for example, something which is bottle beroiv. I've got 20% of heter and 80% is issa. What other example do you want to think about? Bosa b'cholov or issa trefus nevelis, whatever it may be. Can I add now proportionally more heter? Now I'm going to have 51% or more of heter, and now instead of having a problematic substance, I have got now roiv, the majority of heter. Can I do that? Which is considered adding lechatchila purely for the intention of nullifying the issa. That is also because there's an issa of en mevatlin issa lechatchila. You're not allowed to, if there's a bittel beroiv, automatically it becomes for 51% of heter, 49% of issa. Then we've got an automatic rule of bittul beroiv, the majority rules, and it's nullified. The issa is nullified. But you cannot melechatchila add heter in order to have a majority of heter. Ein mevatlin issa lechatchila, you may not nullify issa lechatchila initially. So what we are doing over here is this very concept, really, because I've got over here an oven which has issa woods which fell into the oven. Can I now add heter woods, which are prepared woods, and add them to the oven, and thereby having a bittul issa lechatchila? So if I could rephrase this, that if a person has an oven which has from the has got an oven which has which a bit of osu woods fall in, but there is already inside it plenty of heter woods, then we're going to say, well, it's bittul beroiv if the majority is prepared woods and the minority is mukta woods, then it's fine naturally and automatically because of bittul beroiv. But here it's different because what I've got in the oven at this stage is issa mukta woods, and I am now trying to add more woods which are prepared and non-mukta, and thereby I'm going to nullify the mukta woods in the oven. Can I do that or not? And interestingly, the halacha is over here, I can. Again, the words of the Shulchan Aruch is, afal pi she'etzim shenoshu min hadekel, although I've got woods that fed into the oven from the tree on Yom Tov, into the oven, you may increase woods and thereby mevatlon, top of page 204, and do the bittul. So here we're learning that whilst in general you're not allowed to mevatl issa lechatchila, here you are allowed to mevatl issa lechatchila. This is an exception, and here we are finding that issa lechatchila is permitted. So in this example again, we're learning that you're allowed to mevatl issa lechatchila. Okay, let us see the Mishnah Berurah over here. Sif Katan Zayin in Mishnah Berurah, im noshu b'yom tev, if they fell on Yom Tov, v'hua din, similarly, it doesn't have to be only if they fell from the tree on Yom Tov. Similarly, panichom akum betano, if the goy placed the mukta woods into the oven, sheloy ledas yisrael, without yid's knowledge. Now, the question, of course, is why over here is it permitted? Normally we find that in mevatlin issa lechatchila. So why over here is it permitted? So here the Mishnah Berurah explains if cotton ches. And he says in the third wide line, issa ze kiletvesha ikra noas ha'itzim bolach ra'asoka, shake ikra noas ha'itzim, the main benefit from the woods come after they are burning. So it's a more lenient is over here, because you're not directly benefiting from the woods. It's just the burning of it. It's a bit of indirect level of benefit. It's not like a food. But when it comes to food, you're not allowed to mevatel issa lechatchila, because you're adding issa, you're adding heter to the issa, and that would be forbidden. Here is a bit different, because by adding the woods, you're not going to eat the woods. You're going to have benefit from the fire which emerges from the wood, and that is a slightly different, perhaps more indirect consequence from the Issa. The Muktzah aspect of it is only a bit of an indirect consequence, and that's what we are leaning over here. So that's why, although generally, here we are lenient. Siv Gimel teaches us the following. Also, likach eitz miben ha'eitzim. A person is allowed to take from these woods, which may be lying around, between the trees, these woods. Now you want to take one of those, lechat espo eish, to take those and start stoking the fire with one of those sticks. You're not allowed to do that. Because now you have actually made it into a stoking stick, and that is tikkun mana. That is like boine, like you're fixing a stick, which is very interesting because all you have done is you have picked it up. You have sticks of wood, and whether the Mishnah says if you dalet ben lach ben yovesh, whether they're wet, whether they're dry, of shiroi lasok, they're not muktzeh because you had planned to put them in the oven, so they are perfectly they were lying around. Now you're not allowed to take them and stoke the wood with it because now you're making it into a keli. So it's a very lomdisha tikkun keli. You have not done anything with a stick. You've not physically changed it, you've not improved it, you've not increased any of its, you've not made it any better, but still, since the decision has been now to use it as a stick for stoking, that's considered tikkun mana, and that's also Mishnah Bosef Kotten Tezvav, Davere tikkun mana, Va'afila in a Mesakno Kalib, you're not fixing anything to it, you're not physically enhancing it, you're not physically changing it, Mikol Mokam nevertheless, Harei Oiseyu Lekli, you're making this into a Kli now, Yom Tov on Yom Tov, and that is also, that's a very important concept, and it's applied elsewhere as well. Mishnah Bosef says, Wadin, Tosulikach Eitz Lasis Memenu Briach, if you've got a stick which is lying around, and you want to now use it for your door. So you've got a kind of stick which is lying around, and you're just taking it now to make it as a door stopper, or you're making it for some purpose. That's now making into a kli, which is also, you have not changed it physically, you have not improved it in any way, but since your decision made it into a keli, into a valuable keli, that is called tikkun mana, which is also. And it's important to realize and remember that sometimes this piece of wood you want to use on the sukkah, you want to use it for any other purpose in the house, you want to use it as a doorstop, you want to use anything. If it was lying around for no particular purpose and now you're using it for a specific keli, that you're turning it into a keli, and that's also because of tikkun mana. A very important yesod you need to remember both on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So gentlemen, to summarize what we learned today, we learned the fundamental yesod of Ein Mevatlin Issa Lechatchila. We know there is a bit of Beroiv, majority allows the minority. So when it's 50% of Heta, 49% of Issa, it's Mutter. The rule of Ein Mevatlin Issa Lechatchila tells us if you've got a majority of Issa and minority of Heta, you may not increase the Heta in order to have a majority of Heta, because that's considered aim nevatlin, you're not allowed to nullify iso lechatchila. If it happens, it happens. But you're not lechatchila allowed to create a majority of heta. Nevertheless, despite this general rule of aim nevatlin iso lechatchila, despite that, we have over here a halacha that if you've got woods which are really muktzeh because they are detached woods which fell on Yom Tov, they're falling right into the oven and you want to use them for firewoods, you're not allowed to use them because they are muktzeh. Furthermore, not only the fact that they are muktzeh is a problem, but you wouldn't be allowed to use prepared woods which are non-muktzeh. You're not allowed to take this non-muktzeh woods now and add them to the muktzeh woods in the oven. In principle, we would have said, Ein mevatlin iso lechatchila. You are adding to the muktzeh non-muktzeh. You're adding to the Issa, Heta, and thereby you're going to have a bitul beroiv. So you're not allowed to orchestrate and arrange for Bittel Beroiv. And here we find you can. How can it be that over here you are allowed to do that? Why is it not a contradiction to the general rule of En Mevatlin Selechatchila? The answer is because over here there's a special leniency, since you're not benefiting directly from the wood, but from its emerging fire, therefore, Chachamim were lenient. We learned that if you've got a natural majority, then it's fine as well, without you adding anything, if they've just ended up in an oven which has got majority of non-mukta. So just make sure that you're not touching the mukta ones if they're recognizable. Furthermore, we learned that if you've got a stick which is lying around, you want to use that as a stoking keli, you're not allowed to do that because you're making it into a kli, and that's called tikkun mana, which is also from there. We learn that any change of purpose of any random sticks lying around, any random piece of wood, any random item which you decide now that you want to use as a keli for the benefit of your house, that was considered tikkun mana, despite the fact that physically nothing is changing or improving with that item. The story of the day, the Zvila Rebbe, the story told by Bissach Afran Shlita. He says the story of the Zvila Rebbe, who was a Gedali Moshe Goldman. He was in Siberian camps, in the labor camps during the war. It was a miserable, back-breaking experience. It was very difficult. We all need no explanation and description of what it was like in Siberia. One random Shabbos, out of the blue, some sort of general or responsible prison keeper went to the Zvila Rebbe. He was not the Zvila Rebbe yet. He went to the Zvila Rebbe, the future Zvila Rebbe, that is, and to another Yid, who was a frail old man, and he says, "You're both free to go. Just go. All you need to do is to sign the paper, and you just go." The Zvila Rebbe, he looked at the paper and he says, "Well, I can't write on Shabbos." He decided, in his own understanding, that's not pikuach nefesh. And he was young, he was strong. He said, even if he's going to be detained there for many more years, he will survive. And consequently, it's not considered pikuach nefesh. Therefore, he replied and he said, "Whilst I appreciate your kind, generous gesture, I cannot be mechal Shabbos, and I'm not going to sign this." And then he says, "Oh, you could, this general then said, are you completely, I'm granting you freedom. How can you just waste such an opportunity? Just sign this and go home." He says, I can't do it. Thank you very much. It's my Shabbos. I cannot sign it." He says, "All right, okay, fine. So don't sign, and you stay here forever." He looked at the other person and he said, "Okay, to all gentlemen," who was also for meat, and he said, "Sign this paper and you can go free." And this old Yid said, "Well, I can't sign it either. It's Shabbos for me too. I can't sign it." And then suddenly the Zvila Rebbe shouts out and he said, "One second, I will sign it. I'm going to sign his papers, this older gentleman's paper. Let him go free." He said, this general then says, "I don't understand. A minute ago you told me that you cannot desecrate your Shabbos. And this minute you're telling me you are. What's pshat?" So he responded, he said, "Well, I'm young and I'm going to survive. This elderly gentleman, he's frail, and for him it is pikuach nefesh. And I'm happy to sign his papers because it's pikuach nefesh for him." Whilst he was saying this, the elder gentleman says, "Forget it. I'm going to sign for this Zvila Rebbe. I'm going to sign for him because he's young, he's got his whole life ahead of him. And for me, it doesn't make so much of a difference. I'm old and I've got my life behind me. He is young and he's got his whole life ahead of him. I'm going to sign his paper for him." And they started fighting who is going to sign the paper for the other person. This communist general was so impressed by this amazing act of selflessness of both of them, he said, "You know what, forget it, I'll sign for both of you, you go home." And that is how the Zvila Rebbe was freed from Siberia. I wish you a very good evening.